There is a promised land that will be here any moment, and Christ is going to return, and all those who belong to him will enter in to the new heavens and the new earth and live forever and never die, and no pain and no sorrow and no wars and no hatred, just perfection and face to face with Jesus Christ. That hope is coming.
Welcome back to When the Lord Builds a Home. This message has a few parts in it, which means we have more to come next time. But if you missed the intro to the message today on parents and children, you can go back and listen on our website at liveinthelight.ca or wherever you find your podcasts. Hey, we're looking at the family in this series. And in this little section, we are talking specifically to parents and children. Not just biological moms and dads, though, but anyone who may have a relationship of influence with a child. Maybe you're a grandparent or a loving aunt or uncle. Maybe your best friend has kids. We want you to know what God's word says about raising children to walk in his way. I just heard this incredible statistic that children who have a faith-based foundation are 60% less likely to struggle with depression and 40% less likely to struggle with substance abuse. Now, these numbers have to be hugely encouraging to Christian parents. I know they are to me. So let's constantly be finding ways to get God's word into our homes. Last time we talked about how parents can start on a firm foundation of love for the Lord and love for his word. And today we will continue along that path in the application of teaching the Bible to our kids. Parents, we know these messages can be convicting, but we want you to feel encouraged and equipped rather than burdened. The truth of God's word is integral to every part of our lives, and we want it to translate clearly into your home too. So let's get back into Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here's Pastor Robbie.
When our kids orient their lives in the pursuit of idols, when they learned it from us, why are we surprised by that? They've been watching us the entire time. And then we seem to be shocked when they're not going in the direction, but all the while, again, we have been the ones to show them again what we actually truly worship in life. Paul Tripp sobers us here with this quote. He says this, "It's possible for a mom to be more worried about stains on her couch than the soul of her son. It's possible for a dad to be more focused on the shine and maintenance of his new car than the heart of his daughter." Just look at that for a second and just let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. This is insightful, and this is important for us, again, to not resist what the Holy Spirit is saying to us right now, but to be able to humble ourselves under him, because that's where the change happens. We'll just pause there for a moment for everyone here watching, wherever, and maybe just acknowledge the conviction so far, which is good. I feel it too. I want to make sure that we allow the conviction to stay in conviction and not turn into condemnation. Because when you love the word, which is our point right now, when you love the word, then you also know Romans 8 verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you hear that, okay? Parents, dads, moms. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Personally, I just want to admit to you that when it comes to parenting, I am extremely more aware of my failures than any successes. Absolutely. That is just true. I am extremely more aware of my failures than any successes. And what happens is when that starts to be brought up and that starts to be focused on the enemy just goes nuts. And the enemy seeks to accuse and ultimately to condemn me in that moment. And just basically like, you might as well give up your total failure. This is a key moment here too, right? Because some of us are going through this right now, even as we say these things out. What do you do in that moment? What do you do right there where you're kind of like, you've been exposed and the sin is there and the value systems are all out of whack and our priorities in life are not, what do? Do you just mope? Do I give up? Do I start to self-loathe? Well, the answer is no. Right now, what happens in this moment? You take the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus Christ, and you preach to yourself the gospel, and you know you are forgiven. You know you are righteous forever in the Lord Jesus Christ by what he's done. And now you cry out for fruit. You cry for the fruit of God because your time's not done yet. That's what you do. So personally, what do I do in moments like this? And again, this week, number one, I repent of my sin. I repent. Jesus shows me, because he loves me, he shows me my sin in terms of parenting. I repent of sin. I run to his grace and I am renewed in his love. He's not condemning me. He's not leaving me on the side and just casting me out and saying, I'm done with you. You're such a fake. He never says that. He does convict. He allows me to see my sin, but he wants to use me in greater degrees, specifically in the context of parenting today. Hey, by the way, too, if you're sensing at home here right now, wherever it is, if you have conviction of the Holy Spirit today in terms of this topic here right now, you know what that means? That is proof that the Lord is not done with you yet. That is proof that the Lord wants to work in you still. That is proof right now. The Lord, the Father Almighty, is speaking to you. And he's like, child, let's go. I'm not done with you. I will forgive you. I will forgive you. I do forgive you, he says. But I want to use you in greater ways. But will you turn? Will you turn from the things that you have been doing that are sinful and totally out of whack? And will you now come back to me, he says, to be renewed and then to be used. Again, I want you to see that, all who are watching right now, if you are sensing the conviction of God, then God says, I'm not done with you. I want to use you in greater degrees. And he is moving, listen, he is moving your heart right now towards the heart of parenting. His heart for parenting. That's what he's doing right now. So just acknowledge that and be so encouraged by that. He's reaching out to you and pulling you back along his will that he may get glory through your life. So again, you could mope and you go, oh, forget, I'm a failure, I give up, whatever. And the enemy wants that. Or you can be like, you know what? I see my sin, I repent, I'm forgiven. And now today's a new day. Today's a new day. Amen, church? Amen? And we're able to walk forward now by God's grace and his Spirit and again, his forgiveness and his power to say, man, no, there's still time. There's still time. Absolutely, there's still time. This command in verse 6 for God's word is to take full root in our hearts. Moses is saying, he's like, children, I want God's word to penetrate deep into you by the Spirit of God. For God's word to be on our hearts, it means that there's a constant, conscious reflection on the truth of God and on his word. And so the wise parent right now, man, like you're soaking up verse 5 so far, you're like, yep. You're soaking up verse 6 so far, you're like, yep. And now you're super eager for verses 7 and 9 because you want to hear more, again, of what God's will is for your life and parenting. So let's do that. Let's go to verses 7 and 9. And that point will say this, is parents must finally live and teach the word. Parents must finally live and teach the word. Interesting, eh? Again, I love the emphasis today. Before you get to the teaching, love the Lord, love his word. Again, do not miss that. Do not miss that. Now we're ready. Loving the Lord, loving his word, personally, genuinely. Now we're ready now to start actually doing some practical parenting and some instruction again from the word. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. What a beautiful picture that is. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What are these verses doing? These verses are calling for wholehearted devotion. And now, taking the wholehearted devotion, and now to reach and teach the next generation. That's what that's explicitly saying now. The immediate context here is the family, obviously. All of us, everyone who's watching right now, all of us have a role to play in reaching the next generation. Every single one of us, in one stage or another. Make sure you receive that where you are personally, married, parents, not parents, single, whatever it is. Again, all of us have a role to play in reaching the next generation. That's the beautiful part of this passage as well. could be, again, so many different scenarios. Grandparents, close friends, relatives, mentors, teachers, Bible study leaders, whatever, you know. It's just awesome. Every single one of us should be looking at verses 7 and 9 and say, I have a role to play in the family of the church. Notice what verse 7 is teaching us. The word of God is not to be passed on as some strict law or legal code. Rather, the parent is to live out the word and teach the word. When he's speaking of here in verse 7, it's like the word should be the fabric of our life and conversation. That's beautiful. Okay, so I want you to think about that. As you're going through life, the word of God is in your heart. So it just, again, it just comes out. It seeps out of you because it's been in your heart. And that's what's being taught here as well. Let's just break down this third point into a few other subpoints here on the screen for you as well. Notice parents are to teach their children diligently or repeatedly. It's interesting, diligently here is the idea that words are cut into a stone tablet. The words are to be impressed upon the hearts of our children. So there's a very significant intentionality here to be diligent with God's word again towards our children. No, wisdom. This doesn't mean you hold down your child and tattoo the Bible into them, okay? That's not what this is saying. Again, I mean, just personally, vulnerably too, for me, I grew up in different settings where, and this is not about my parents, it was actually in other areas, but just there were times where the Bible's so hammered into me, I just began to resent it. It became so legalistic in my mind. It was like almost like punishment. And so as a parent, I try to be very sensitive to that. Sensitive to the times where I'm like, is this working or is this hindering? And trying to have wisdom in the moment to choose your moments when it is being received with the heart that's intended. But if I sense that I'm trying to, again, take God's word or whatever, and it's being used and it's not working at all, I'm just going to back off and wait for another moment. And that's how my wife and I have been led in this regard, taking very seriously, again, what's being said here, but also trying with wisdom to discern. Again, all of us have different backgrounds, don't we, too? But wisdom's so helpful here, too. But inherent in this, there's an ongoing desire and diligence to teach them the word. Like, how many times have my kids heard the gospel? Hundreds and hundreds of times. And Jill and I cannot save our kids. Only the Lord can do that. But we are responsible for continuing to present the gospel. And over the years, it's been really, really encouraging to see how God has done that in his time, in his way, and sometimes directly through us and sometimes through others. And it's been beautiful to see, again, the Lord's timing and how the Lord works in that. But we are to intentionally and diligently seeking to have the word imprinted upon the hearts, again, of our kids that only the Lord can ultimately do. And by the way, let me just say this to you, okay? Make sure parents all watching who are here, addressing a lot of people, our youth ministry is not responsible for the discipleship of your children. Okay? Like, make sure. Pastor Carl said that in the past, and I'm just here supporting Pastor Carl. He's not here to say it for himself right now, okay? Or Gorville, whoever, okay? Let me say it again. For you to hand your kids over to us and say, you fix them, no. No, you disciple them. No, we want to help. Yes, amen. And our youth ministry is awesome in doing that and so incredible and self-sacrificing and serving. But at the end of the day, parents, you don't get a pass. I don't get a pass. You don't just drop them off on Wednesday and be like, let me know when you got the job done. No. No, that's a cop-out. That's lazy. And if that's your attitude, you got to repent. We want to help you. Parents, your job is to disciple your children and to beg God that he would be working within them. And we're doing a lot of things in so many ministries, especially in our youth ministry, to equip our parents to do so. So parents are to teach their children diligently. Also notice this, we are to teach their children continuously. Continuously. Verse 7, I love this phrase. You shall talk of the word when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What a beautiful image that is. So, should parents plan for formal times of devotion and teaching? 100% yes. 100% yes. They should plan for formal times of devotion and teaching. But notice, it's more than that. It's taking advantage of every opportunity. anywhere you might find yourself, driving, walking, errands, bedtime, meal, leisure, away, wherever you find yourself, looking for opportunities to deposit truths of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, and again, a God-given worldview. The wise parent is always ready, always ready. And in fact, like this verse means so much to me because this is so much of what my wife Jill and I love to do as well. Some of you know me well. I love just in life, I love to pause the world or pause life and then make some comments about it. And my kids want to listen. I love doing that. I love pausing life. There's so many opportunities, right? So I just think of recent things. I think of walking through a school and seeing a bulletin board and some ridiculous slogan on it was something like, "You are enough." And that phrase we always hear, "You are enough." And walking with my daughters, "I'm sorry, and you're not enough." See that right there? You're not. You're not even close to being enough, and neither am I. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. But what happened? You're walking through a school hallway and you're seeing this ridiculous, you know, unbiblical, non-truth. And just but take the moment to see that right there, because they're gonna pay attention. It takes like 30 seconds and a little opportunity for the gospel and to say, and then maybe after that they'll say, "Well, why are we enough?" He gets to explain more, whatever it might be as well. So things like in the last, I just thought of like a commercial. I saw a commercial recently. Just say, pause, right? And the car commercial and a clothing commercial, two separate ones. They are dancing and the happiest people I've ever seen in the world. They are so happy and they're dancing around. Life could not be better. And I'm like, well, in the end, are we happy? And do we dance like crazy because of a car we drive or the clothes we wear? Is that what this commercial is saying? Actually, it is saying that. Is that true? Right? And I think a wise parent and a wise kid will have a conversation right there and be able to see through, to sit there and say, "That piece of clothing won't make me dance around and happy in unison, some kind of stylist dance team, whatever, what they're doing," right? That's not gonna happen. The reality is you get the car, you're still miserable. You put on the clothing, you're still miserable. You're happy for like a moment, then you're miserable. Why? Well, because only Jesus can satisfy. Just opportunities, little things we get to do wherever you might find yourself, right? What about just taking an opportunity, you're away, wherever you are, a sunset, kids. Let's see the sunset. Usually not a sunrise. A little too early. Sunset, why? The heavens declare the glory of God, right? A couple of my kids love this, and I love that about them. It's like it could be the smallest thing or the biggest thing, just opportunities everywhere. In fact, just yesterday, I just thought of this yesterday. I was just driving with my kids in the car, and I just realized, like, just literally that day, the Lord did something pretty encouraging for our family. It was totally unexpected. And I thought it was like an amazing story. And I just say, "Can I just encourage you right now?" They're like, "Okay." And I just said, "Let me just tell you a little story of what God did today and how he cared for our family." And I told the story. And it's just, and that's not a wasted moment. And it meant a lot to me. Like, it meant a lot to me how the Lord intervened, I think, in a pretty significant way that was completely out of, you know, nowhere. And it really encouraged me. And so why would I keep that to myself? And so be able to encourage also. And what do you do at the end of that? You're just like, man, like, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And what they do with that, the Lord will decide. But again, I mean, this is the heart of what's being said here. And where the wise parent is constantly looking for opportunities, you know, formally and informally, all again going towards the goal of Jesus is awesome and the world is dumb, okay? I love doing that personally. The world is very, very dumb, okay? But Jesus is very, very smart and very, very awesome and very, very beautiful. So parents are to teach their children diligently, continuously, and then lastly, they're to teach their children comprehensively. Comprehensively. Verse 8 again. Verse 8 says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So this is for sure metaphorical language. Some within Judaism over the centuries have taken this literally. Some try to literally live this out today as well. It's tough, eh? Because if you're going to live this out literally, then what prevents you from living out everything else literally as well that you find in the Old Testament? How do you choose one and not the other? But all that to say, this is metaphorical language. We know because all throughout this passage, there's a communicating of the insistence of the internalization of God's truth. It's the heart. It's the heart, right? So is it wrong to put a verse above your door? No, not at all. Not at all. Do we have some version of that in our home? Yes, we do. Walk out. My wife put a beautiful statement again. Christ-centered above our door. That's very, very good. And I completely commend that. However, it's the external reminder pointing to an internal reality. That's what you're going for. You can plaster all the Bible verses you want around your house, and if it means nothing in your heart, it means nothing at all. But you do put these things around, and you can do these things as a reminder of the heart you want to have and the life you want to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we summarize this? Well, Paul Tripp summarizes it by saying that the parent is the principal tool designed by God to create God consciousness and God submission in your children. So the parent, designed by God, is the principal tool to create God consciousness. Something we just talked about right there, right? It's verses 7-9. And God's submission in your children. Again, only God can ultimately do this. But parents are tools in the hand of God towards the heart of their child. And that's why, you know, that phrase, and there's been books written with this title, we've been entrusted with hearts. That we as parents are to be tools to guide them towards Christ and glory and life eternal and salvation and blessing and joy and the worship of God. So what do I do if I'm a parent today listening to this message? And I am a parent today listening to this message. Well, number one, if this applies and this is real, watching at home, again, just have the humility, moms and dads, I would confess that I have not stewarded my parenting opportunity fully in the ways of God. I mean, who here right now could say, yep, I'm perfect at my parenting. I'm just like, well, come talk to me afterwards because you, anyways, whatever. So, but I would confess, and I am confessing my sin in regards to I have not stewarded my parenting fully to the Lord and his ways. Secondly, I would ask, Lord, I ask you to change my heart, before I'm focusing on my kids, change my heart to have more love for you, for that supernatural impact that will result as I am growing in deep affection for you, and then it spills out again from my life. I would ask for that. And then thirdly, I would say, Lord, I know it's not too late. And that's important for some of us to hear today, watching, wherever it might be. It's not too late, Dad. It's not too late, Mom. It's not. I want to encourage you too, right? I told the story of my dad. So I was late teens, like not living for God at all. And it was in my early 20s. My parents could have given up entirely. I just want to encourage you, man. And that was when I was, you know, watching, seeing, it's not too late. It's not too late. That's what the Lord is saying to us today as well. Lord, would you work in me? And then just to end today, I want you to turn one page over to Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. This is another beautiful little verse here in terms of Moses and instructing parents, and just look at these verses here. So Deuteronomy 6, 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Isn't that fascinating? When your son asks you, Dad, what's up with the rules and these commands? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. What is that in the new covenant? That is the truth of the gospel. Son, I was dead in sin, but Jesus Christ saved my life, died for my sins, and set me free. He brought me out of slavery with his grace and his mighty hand. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. What is that? That is the wonder of the gospel. The wonder of God, the greatness of God, the awe of God, the glory of God, that parents are to tell their sons and daughters the magnificent majesty of God alone. Who alone can create the heavens and the earth and do such signs and wonders? The truth of the gospel, the wonder of the gospel, look at verse 23. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. What is that? That is the hope of the gospel in the new covenant. That's the hope of the gospel. The promised land. Child, there is a glory that is coming. There is a promised land that will be here any moment, and Christ is going to return, and all those who belong to him will enter in to the new heavens and the new earth and live forever and never die, and no pain and no sorrow and no wars and no hatred, just perfection and face to face with Jesus Christ. That hope is coming. The parent will tell their children all the time, in some form, in some way, this is why I live. The truth of what Christ has done, the wonder of what Christ has done, and the hope of what Jesus Christ will do one day so soon because of his life, death, and resurrection, his ascension to heaven, and then one day soon his return. And then therefore, child, I need you to join me. I need you to have a hope of glory. I need you to come to heaven. I beg that you will turn your heart to Jesus Christ. I beg the Lord to turn your heart to him, that you might be saved forever and never die. And that obviously is the greatest hope and prayer of each parent. Hey, it's not too late. It's not too late. The Lord is working today because the Lord is speaking today. So I pray we would humble ourselves. We will confess. We will grow in faith. I pray that we will be expectant for what the Lord will do. Hey, thanks for being here today. I'm so glad. And I'm thankful for all those who are watching right now too. And today is not a wasted day, amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, work in every home watching right now, every life in one way or another, all of us. I just pray for those right now who are not parents. I pray, Lord, that they would know they have a role to play in reaching the next generation. Every single person has a role in the family of God and the church of God to reach the next generation. And I pray you will show them and they will steward their lives accordingly. Yes, to have the word imprinted on the hearts of young people. I pray, Lord, right now for parents specifically right now. I pray for dads who are tempted to be discouraged. In Jesus' name, encourage them with what is true. But I do also pray that you would bring conviction upon moms and dads. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. It is needed and it is good. Conviction is a wake-up call. What am I doing? Why am I living? What am I living for? What do I really worship? What do I really value? What am I showing my kids? What kind of parent do I want to be? What actually matters in life? Well, the answers to that is Jesus. Jesus matters. His glory matters. And so may we steward our lives accordingly to be parents who love the Lord, who love the word, who live and teach the word, and then they're authentically living it out. Would you help us, Lord, even today if we need to have conversations? Even today if we need to ask for forgiveness from family members? That'd be a powerful moment, dad and mom. You can sit before your kids and even confess. I mean, how powerful is that to humble ourselves and to say, thank you for your grace, child, as I seek to model what it means to follow Christ. So use this time, grow in our church. Again, work in every home that is watching now. We pray this together in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.